We are back in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. I'm going to keep talking because we got to go. We're on a time limit. Strict. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. We are where we've been in the past, for the past 5 weeks or so. I don't know how long it's been, but I know we've been here even in December. But I hope that you are noticing we've been going slowly through these three verses. And you see we're just chewing and chewing and chewing and chewing. And so that's what we're doing. We're slowly eating the Word of God. We're getting all of the flavors. And hopefully the Word of God is just speaking to you more, especially when you now read this verse. Hopefully many things pop into your mind, right? Because you have a better historical context of how Jesus is using the words here with yoke and burden. So we're going to keep chewing on the Word of God, saints. And today, we're going to keep chewing. We're going to keep focusing on what we touched on last week. The easy yoke, we call it. The easy yoke of Jesus, the light burden. So let us go in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, God, that you have given us. God, thank you for feeding us, Lord. Thank you for feeding our soul, God. Holy Spirit, will you do that work today in my brothers and sisters, God? Feed them by your word, God. Give them revelation and understanding of your truth, God. Let them see that they are walking in the easy yoke, God, carrying your burdens. And it's such a privilege to walk with you, Jesus. May we all be at awe as we see you and follow you and be thankful that you have called us into yourself, God. Bless your church this morning, God, by your word. Empower us, strengthen us, Lord God, that we leave this house different by your word, Lord Jesus. It is you we lift up right now. Amen. All right, so again, we are in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. We will stay working through here. This is our fourth week, particularly this month. I know we started in December. And again, we're going to keep talking about the easy yoke. So today we're going to continue our discussion on the easy yoke because Jesus said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Was Jesus lying? I say not. So if he says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light, we must take him at his word. And that is what he says. Let's just read the text again. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. We've talked about what that means. And I will give you rest. We talk about what that rest means from Jeremiah 6, 29. He says, take my yoke upon you. We've talked about yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. That word gentle there is the word Greek word pros, which is meek. I like how the old King James translate that. He says, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. And he says it in verse 30. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we're going to continue this discussion that we touched on last week, the easy yoke. And this thought of Jesus that he says here in verse 30, that my yoke is easy and my burden is light, this has been the reflection of my heart over the past couple of weeks. I've just been chewing on this thought and just getting revelation from it that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This has been a reflection of my heart just meditating on verse 30, and it's brought me so much joy because I thank God that by his grace that I am walking and living in the easy yoke. I am walking in the easy yoke, and I'm so thankful that I'm not walking with the yoke that I used to be tied to, but now I'm walking in the easy yoke, meaning that I have yoked myself up to Jesus. That's what yoke means, right? I've tied myself up to Jesus, and I'm saying, Jesus, you lead the way. You guide me. Jesus, I believe that you got it right, all of life, how you say life should live. And so I'm tying myself up to you. I'm yoking myself up to you, Jesus, and I'm allowing you to lead. You follow. I mean, you guide. And so that's the yoke that I'm walking in. I'm walking in the easy yoke of Jesus. And so I'm so thankful that I get to walk in this yoke with him. And then his burdens, he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His burdens that I get to carry, meaning Jesus' instruction, Jesus' his do's and don'ts, his commands, they are lighter than the burdens that I used to carry when I was in the world. So I'm walking in the easy yoke and I'm carrying the light burden. I'm carrying Jesus' burdens. Again, Jesus' burdens were his, remember, this is the metaphor for your rabbi, your teacher's instruction. His do's and don'ts. They're now lighter. His burdens that I carry are lighter than the burdens that I carried when I was in the world. But now I'm carrying Jesus' burdens. And the burdens that I now carry is this. I am hungering and thirsting for righteousness. That is his burden that I'm now carrying. That is his instruction that he has given his church. His burdens that I now carry as a follower of Christ is I carry peacemaking. That's the burden that I now carry. His burdens that I now carry is mercy. See, that's his burdens that I now carry because I'm following him and taking his instructions. His burdens that I now carry is that I now love my neighbor as I love myself. That is the burden that I now carry because I rock with Christ. See, the burden that I now carry because I follow Jesus is that I look out for the interests of others more than myself. That's the burdens that I now carry. See, his burdens is his teaching, his instructions that you take when you yoke up to a particular teacher. Remember, that's why I spent so much time trying to give you guys the historical background of yoke and burden. Remember, the yoke is me latching myself to a particular teacher, his interpretation of how I ought to live, and his burdens were his instructions, his do's and don'ts. And so I have yoked up to Jesus, and now I am carrying his burdens that I have as I follow him. And as I mentioned, his burdens that I carry are now lighter than the burdens that I used to carry. See, his burdens, the burdens that I used to carry when I was yoked up to the world was selfishness. And guess what? Selfishness was a heavy burden to carry. Only thinking about myself, that was a heavy burden to carry. And it took a heavy toll on my life. Not like meekness and mercy. That is a much lighter burden. That's what I mean by lighter and heavy burdens. Selfishness was a much heavy burden to carry in my life. Meekness and mercy is a much lighter burden. And so that's why Jesus can say that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's kind of like the Forrest Frank song. If you know Forrest Frank, right? He has a really popular song that we all know. Forrest Frank's song is Your Way Is Better, right? Where's Riley at? She knows Forrest Frank, his song, Your Way Is Better. And in that song, Forrest Frank, he says this. He says, I searched the world. How'd it go, Riley? I searched the world, what? Heard just to. Uh-oh, Your Way Is Better, right? And as I thought about that song, I realized, saints, that is what Jesus is saying here in these verses in Matthew 28 to verse 30. He's telling those who are carrying these heavy loads, these heavy burdens from all of these extra religious do's and don'ts that were going beyond God's commandments, he's telling them that my way is better. My yoke is easier. My yoke, my burden is lighter than these other teachers. So come unto me, all who are weary. Jesus is saying that my way is better, just like what Forrest Frank has said. Forrest Frank said, I was searching the world all over and I realized that your way is better. That is exactly what Jesus is saying here in verses 28 through 30 to those who are weary from all of these heavy extra religious instructions that the teachers in Israel were putting on them. He said, my way is better. My yoke is easier. My burdens are light. So come unto me, follow me, yoke yourself up with me. That is what Jesus is saying there when he says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so as I've been reflecting on this one verse here in verse 30 this week, yes, I found joy realizing that I am now walking in the easy yoke of Jesus, but this verse also gave me heartache. It gave me heartache because as I'm thinking about me walking in the easy yoke of Jesus, I began to think about several family members and friends who refused to take the yoke of Jesus. Who refuse to take the yoke of Jesus. And part of me, as I'm just meditating on this verse, and I'm just so thankful, I'm looking at my life, and I'm like, this is the easy yoke that I'm walking in, and I'm so thankful that I'm not the old Jerome and the stuff that I was yoked up in before. But as I began to think about my family members and friends, I just wanted to really scream at them. I wanted to scream, just to be honest. I wanted to say, aren't you tired? I want to say, aren't you tired from following your own way? Aren't you tired from carrying those heavy burdens? Aren't you tired from carrying the heavy burdens of Benjamin Franklin? Aren't you tired of chasing that? And I just want to just scream at them to say, aren't you tired of carrying the heavy burdens of materialism? I just want them to know that there's another way. There's another way of life. There's another way of living. And Jesus is inviting you into this easy yoke. That's what he's doing here in verse 28 through 30. He's inviting people into the easy yoke. He's inviting people into the life of God to come and learn from him, the Messiah, God in the flesh. Here is inviting those who are weary and heavy laden to come unto me and take on this easy yoke. Take on the lighter burdens. I see that burden that you're carrying from all those other things in the world. And he's saying, come unto me. And that's what I want to tell them. I've shared Jesus with some of them before, but they just don't want to walk with Jesus. They don't want to walk in the easy yoke. And it burdens my heart because there's another way of life. There's a life of Christ that is so much better than what they have. But they don't want to take the yoke of Jesus. And it burdens me. Now, as I say that, as I reflect on my relatives and friends who don't want to take the yoke of Jesus. They don't want to come and walk in the easy yoke where the yoke is easy and his burden is light. As I say that, I realize that there are some of you in here, I'm pretty sure, that you don't even believe what we just read in verse 30. That you don't believe that Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. There's some of you in here today, I'm sure you do not believe these verses. When you read this, when Jesus says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light, some of you, I'm sure you don't really even believe those words that you read. Do you know how I know that some of you probably don't believe those words that you read here? It's because I didn't either. I didn't either when I would read these verses. This verse here, verse 30, when I would read this in the past, it would stumble me. This is one of the hardest verses for me to get. I would read this verse here where Jesus says to take my yoke upon you, learn from me, you're going to find rest for your soul, and that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I would read that and I would say, Lord, really? Like, what do you mean your yoke is easy and your burden is light? Your way is hard, Jesus. That was my thought when I would read this text. I would say, Jesus, your way is hard, and your burdens or your instructions that you give, Jesus, they're really heavy. What do you mean that your yoke is easy and your burden is light? How can you say that, Jesus, that your way is easy and your burden is light? It just, your way feels so hard. That's how I would read this text here. That's what I'm saying, that some of you, I'm sure, you read the text the same way, if we're going to be honest. You question how Jesus can say that my yoke is easy, my burden is light, when you realize that all the stuff that he says, it feels hard. And myself, to make sense of this verse, in verse 30, I would try to make sense of it by saying, oh, well, maybe he means that in light of eternity and the glory that we're going to be revealed to us in the future, he's saying that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And there is some truth to that. Paul makes a similar argument in Corinthians, how these momentary light afflictions, right? He's talking about the glory that's going to be revealed in us. So there is some truth that whatever we go through in this life, however hard it may feel, that it's nothing compared to the glory that we're going to receive in eternity. So there is some truth to that. But I don't think that you necessarily have to go that route when you read this verse. You don't have to soften Jesus' message here or make it more palatable just for us to receive it. I think that there is another way of understanding this text. And I think that what Jesus is saying here, when he says that my yoke is easy, my burden is light, I think he says what he means. That his yoke is easier and his burdens are lighter. And so what I want to do now is just spend the rest of our time looking at why I believe that what he said is true, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so the first reason that we'll look at on why I believe that Jesus is true when he says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light is this thought here. Why were the religious teachers of Jesus' day, why were they adding all of these extra do's and don'ts to God's commandments? Does anybody know why they were adding all of these extra burdens? on the people in Israel, all these extra do's and don'ts on top of God's commandments. Like on a Sabbath day, they would add extra commandments to make sure you didn't break the Sabbath, where you couldn't walk certain places. You couldn't even help a person that needed help because you didn't want that to be considered work. Why did they add all of these extra do's and don'ts on top of God's word? Does anybody have a guess on why they did that? I'm just opening it up to you all. Anybody want to give a stab at it, Oleg?
Maybe they were really hypocrites, but they wanted to look more holy.
Yeah, I think that is true too. That is definitely true. You had some pride in some of the teachers, and they wanted to look more holy. But all of these commandments that they would add, these extra do's and don'ts, ultimately everything was about righteousness. They were trying to obtain righteousness or right standing before God, but they were trying to get it through legalism. They were trying to earn their salvation through rule keepings. And the more rules that I can create, the more righteous a person could potentially be, they were trying to add or bring to the people. That if I just do enough right things, then I'll be accepted before God. If I just do enough right, if I just keep all of God's commandments, keep all of his rules perfectly, then I will stand righteous before God. It was legalism. They were trying to earn their salvation, earn their righteousness. And this is one of the things that the Apostle Paul, he pushed back in his letter to the Galatians. Because in his letter to the Galatians, people had snuck into the church and they were convincing people that they had to keep the Mosaic law and get circumcised to be saved or obtain righteousness before God. And so Paul is pushing back saying, hey, this is a false gospel that someone's teaching you. They're telling you now you need to do these works. That's not how you were saved. That's not how you received the Spirit through keeping the law. It's by faith in Jesus Christ alone. So Paul is pushing back there that no, it's not a works-based righteousness. And Paul doesn't just do it there to the Galatians, but Paul also critiques Israel in Romans chapter 10, verse 3, where he says this. He says, they, talking about Israel, were seeking to establish their own righteousness through law-keeping, keeping the law, versus subjecting themselves to the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ alone. So that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to create their own righteousness through law keeping and legalism. And the Apostle Paul was pushing back against that stuff, saying, no, it's through faith in Jesus alone and how we're made righteous. Now, the problem with trying to do this, to gain righteousness the way that they were trying to gain, is that here's the major problem. You're constantly always wondering, did I do enough? If you try to live this legalistic righteousness or gain righteousness through good works, so to speak, or moral law keeping, you're going to constantly wonder, did I do enough? Am I still saved? Did I do enough good deeds? Did I do enough righteousness? And what if I fail to keep God's commandment? Is God now mad at me? And oh, what if I fail to do this? Is my rabbi, is my teacher, is he mad at me? Did I just fail him? And so now you're living with this anxiety of not wanting to fail God or not wanting to disappoint your rabbi that you decided to follow. And so many in Israel, because of this, they said, forget it all, I can't follow God. You made it too hard. All your laws and your rule keepings, I don't want it. You make it the kingdom of God too hard. And so that's why many turned away from following Yahweh. But with Jesus, here's the difference with Jesus, why his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Because with Jesus, when you take his yoke upon you, as he says, and you learn from him, you learn that your righteousness, your right standing from God, comes through faith in him alone. And that he has purchased your salvation, that his work alone makes you righteous. And simply just on that alone, that makes Jesus' burden lighter, because now you're not living with this anxiety and pressure of, did I do enough right deeds? Did I do this wrong? Is God mad at me? Now that burden is lifted. Now I don't have to live with this pressure of, did I mess up? Did I mess up? So that makes Jesus, his burden and his yoke lighter just off top, because I don't have to live with this anxiety of pressure of, did I do enough right deeds, or God mad at me now? And plus we get to have the peace of knowing that we have salvation and that we will not enter into judgment. So now we can live for Christ and keep his commandments out of love and not out of duty, which makes his burden lighter and his load lighter just off of that alone. Do you see that, saints? Oh, just that alone. If I had all of these burdens like they had in Israel, where I'm constantly thinking about, did I do enough? it just weighs you down, and there's no peace from you, just have anxiety. But if I know that my righteousness comes through faith in Jesus alone, and that I'm saved, that I will not enter into judgment, now I can keep his commandments out of love without this extra added pressure. And so that alone makes Jesus' burden and his yoke easier and lighter than what Israel was offering or what other people were offering. You say we're done on time? 1:22, okay, good. Another reason why Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light is based on what he says in verse 29. Look what he says in verse 29 of Matthew 11. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek, gentle, and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So Jesus says in verse 29, I am gentle or meek. We've all touched on meekness for the most part, right? What does meekness mean, saints? What does meekness mean?
Humble.
Humble? That's part of it, but what else? What is meekness? Jesus says that I'm meek or gentle and humble in heart. So what is meekness? Somebody else, give me, what is the definition of meekness?
Calm temper of mind, not easily provoked.
Say that again.
A calm temper of mind, not easily provoked.
Okay, that's I think that fits in there too.
Okay.
Forgiving. Yes, another thing I'm looking for. Somebody haven't said it yet. Anybody else? What is meekness? It's a word I'm looking for. Come on, Mom, Pastor Brian, Brian Hunter. You know that he taught that sermon years ago. In high school, I still remember the guy's sermon. I was in the world, but I still remember his sermon on meekness. The word I'm looking for, the thought that I'm thinking about, is power under control. Remember that horse, that stallion, that wild stallion who's so powerful, but yet they can tame him. He has all this power, but yet it's under control. That is meekness. That is meekness, meaning that I have the authority or power to act and to do something, but I do not. That is meekness. Now, let me give you an example to explain why I'm pointing this out here and how this fits in with Jesus' burden being, his yoke being easy and his burden being light. Let me give this example of me with sports. So I grew up playing sports, right? Grew up playing football. And in football, Vea, Neil, you guys know this, or basketball, whatever sport, when your coach gives you a play to run, if you don't run that play the way that they said in football, you're going to get yanked out the game. You're going to get benched. You may get berated on the sideline. You may get yelled at. You may get talked about. I mean, in Oakland, I've literally seen my coach. I ain't going to say the guy's name because he may see it online, but he knows. He did a wrong play. I kid you not. The coach smacked him on the face. A coach. No helmet on. Just face to cheek. You didn't do this. Bam. You didn't do this. Bow, smacked him on the cheek. That's what happened in sports. In sports, there is no meekness. When you do something wrong, your coach is going to be on you because you made a mistake. You didn't run the play right. You did wrong. I think that for some of us in here, that is our vision of God. We treat God like the angry coach. We treat God like if I make one mistake, if I sin, if I fall, then God is going to be mad at me. He's angry at me. He's going to come at me. That is, for some of us, that's probably our vision of God. Jesus is saying, I'm meek to show you that I'm not like that. See, in ancient Israel, when you had a disciple following a rabbi, when that disciple, that Talmid, he didn't follow his rabbi right, that rabbi would sometimes excoriate him. That rabbi would call him out in public and just get on him tough. Why? Because he represented the rabbi. Jesus is saying that that's not my temperament. He said, I'm meek. I know how to control my power and authority. So when you fall and you mess up and you do wrong, you're not going to just get me to berate you and get down on yourself. That's how we think God is. But Jesus said, no, that's not how God is. I'm meek and I'm humble, meaning I could come down. That's why you would find Jesus, he would allow sinners to hang around him. Jesus would touch the lepers when the religious elite wouldn't even go nowhere near them. Jesus knew how to come down. So what he's saying when he says that I'm meek and humble, he's talking about his temperament, that if you come and follow me, you take my yoke upon you and you allow me to lead you, I'm not going to be all on your case every time you mess up. And for some of you, this is good news because you think God is that angry coach. But he said he's not. He said, I'm meek. I know how to wield my power. I don't have to just berate you. I'm meek and lowly. I'm humble, lowly in heart. So that is the point that Jesus is making here. So just think about that. So now when I'm following Jesus, I don't have to walk around with this fear that, oh, if I did this wrong, oh, I sinned last week, oh, I didn't read my Bible enough, so now God is mad at me, oh, I didn't pray enough. He's like, that's not me. So that alone, again, there makes his yoke easy and his burden light, because now I could walk, one, understanding that I'm not trying to follow Jesus and keep his commandments to gain righteousness. He already gained it for me. So now I can walk just out of love. And not only that, I can walk with Jesus and carry his burden, knowing that if I slip and I fall and I don't keep his words exactly, I don't have a God that's just angry at me and mad at me. That alone right there, that makes his yoke easy and his burden is light, because I don't have that extra added pressure. Are you guys hearing me here? This is why I say I'm so thankful that I'm walking in the easy yoke, while his burdens are lighter, while his yoke is easy. When you add all these things on, you realize it really is then the alternative than what's out there. Let me see on time. Oh, give me one more, and then my alarm is about to go off. 3 minutes of it. To give you another reason why his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And that's what the Holy Spirit tells us in 1 John 5:3. In 1 John 5:3, John says this. He says that God's commandments are not burdensome. That God's commandments are not burdensome, meaning that they are not heavy. They're not heavy. I mean that when I take on Jesus' yoke and he gives me instruction, his burdens, they're not extremely heavy and hard to bear. And I get, some of you say, I get the pushback, because you can look at Jesus' teaching and it seems really hard to live out. But I think if you really dig into Jesus' instruction, his teaching, his burdens that we carry, you'll see that his burdens, the things that he calls us to carry and to live out, are actually lighter than the alternative. And so let me give you an example of that. When I hear Jesus, or in the past, when I would read this text, Matthew 11, verse 30, and when I hear Jesus say that my yoke is easy and my burden is light, there was one verse that came to mind immediately when he said that, and why I would push back and be like, Jesus, how can you say this? How can you say your yoke is easy and your burden is light? Do you remember what you said here, Jesus? Like, I would talk to Jesus like he forgot, right? I know that's wrong, but I'm like, that verse was this. It was Matthew 5:39. In Matthew 5:39, this was the one verse, anytime I've read, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, my mind immediately goes to Matthew 5:39, and I'm like, Jesus, do you remember what you said there in 5:39? How can you say my yoke is easy and my burden is light? Well, Matthew 5:39, you know what Jesus says? Somebody want to read it? Tell me what Jesus says there. That just is super heavy. Like, how can you call your yoke easy and your burden light?
You're saying Matthew 5:39.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. You heard that? Whoever does what? Slaps you on the right cheek. What should you do? Turn the other cheek. That is, when I read him say, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, that's where my mind goes, like, Jesus, do you remember what you said here? Jesus, You remember what you said? Jesus, you said this. Jesus, you remember, I'm from Oakland, Jesus. You're telling a guy from Oakland, Jesus, to turn the other cheek. Jesus, you said that's easy. Like, I'm making these arguments with Jesus. I'm like, that, how can you call that easy? And that's a heavy burden, Jesus. You telling me I need to carry this? That's your teaching I got to carry? That's heavy, Jesus. How can you call this light? But here's the thing. When you look at this text in Matthew 5:39 about turning the cheek, that verse there is not about somebody squaring up and we're finna go blow to blow. That verse in the first century is more about a sign of disrespect or somebody offending you. Because he says, and I'm not the first one to make this, other commentators have pointed this out. He says, somebody slaps you, one, not punching, but a slap. And he says on the right cheek, if most people are right-handed, you're going to slap somebody. It's more of a backhand, so it's not like a punch. It's more like a slap, unless you're going to left-hand, you're just going to slap somebody. So it's not like punching. It's more of an offense. And I've heard a person that kind of explained this verse that really crystallized it for me. And this teacher was saying how the point that Jesus is making here is we should be slow to be offended, basically, with turn the other cheek. Slow to be offended. That's the ultimate point here, that somebody's going to try to offend you and slap you, that you're slow to be offended. You're not responding in like manner, but you're turning the other cheek. You're slow to be offended. And so if you take that understanding of slow to being offended, let's compare that to a person that's easily offended. Okay. So if Jesus is saying here in 5:39, this is the burden that we ought to carry. We have to turn the other cheek, right? This is his instruction, because again, we're taking on Jesus' yoke, and part of his yoke is follow his instructions, which is called a burden, and his burden here is that we as his Talmidim, his disciples, should turn the other cheek, which here in the context is being slow to be offended. So let's compare that to the alternative. The alternative is not being a person that's slow to being offended. The alternative is a person that is easily offended. So imagine that person that's always walked around easily offended, always looking at somebody going to say something about them, always just on edge, ready to jump. Y'all know those people, those dudes that's ready to curse you out in a minute. You say one little thing, you step on their shoe, they're ready to squabble. They're walking around with, guess what, they're always angry. That's actually a heavier yoke and heavier burden to bear than turning the other cheek. That's why I'm saying when you really look at it, they're actually carrying heavier burdens. You ever seen an angry person? That is a much heavier burden to bear than what Jesus is calling. So that's what I'm saying, that how Jesus' ways really are lighter. His burdens that he's telling us to carry is actually lighter than the alternative. That person that's already the fighting, always angry, that person is not walking around with the peace of God. They're always offended, really, to squabble. That is a heavy load that they're carrying from their anger and their discontentment. That is what Jesus is saying to do is much lighter than that. That's what I'm saying. His ways are truly lighter. So think about it. Being a peacemaker, guess what? It's lighter than being a person who's a vengeful person. The vengeful person is actually carrying a more heavy burden. You walk around with vengeance versus the person that's walking around with a peacemaker mindset. That one is a lighter load, a lighter burden compared to the alternative. So that's why I'm saying Jesus' burdens, the things that he calls us to do, his teachings, are actually lighter when you really look at the alternative. He's showing us truly the easy way, the easy yoke, and his burdens truly are lighter. That being said, we're going to pause there. All right, I got one more, y'all. Let me try to get to this fourth reason, okay? And then we're going to split to our groups. All right. I'm over time, but I just want to get to this last fourth one so we can be good. All right, so the fourth reason, and this is going to be more of a practical example, okay, to explain why and how Jesus' yoke is easier and his burden is light. You guys with me here? Anybody? Everybody still awake? Yeah. All right. So I'm going to give you a more practical example. So let's say someone is yoked up. I'm going to use politics because politics is top of mind right now for a lot of people, for most in the world. That's what you see in the news headlines, politics, politics. So I'm going to use politics. Let's say a person is yoked to a political party. Let's say that a person is yoked up to the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. We have a lot of people in America that are really yoked, tied to a political party or an ideology. Some of them are even Christians. And some will say they're Christians, but if you cut them, they bleed Republican or Democrat or whatever ideology that they subscribe to, because their ideology screams louder than their faith. That's just where we are in America. So let's say if you're yoked to a political party or an ideology, meaning that you believe that if I just get enough Democrats in office, right, or enough Republicans in office, then society and life is going to be better. If I yoke myself up to you, they have the right rules, the right way of life. So if we just get them in office, then things, life will be better. Or if we just get this girl or guy in our office, in office with our ideology, they will bring us into a type of salvation. Life will be better with them. So let's tie ourselves with them and let's try to get our person in office. That's where many people are right now. They are yoked to political parties. They are yoked to ideologies. They're putting their faith in this. And I always go and use the same example that you've heard me use many times before. But with Barack Obama, he said in a press conference, I know I've said this before, but it never gets old. He stepped up in his press conference and he says that I was not born in a manger. He jokingly said it, but he did say it. Why? Because everyone was making Obama the Messiah. They were saying, if we just get him in office, all is going to be right in America. He's going to lead us the way. Life is going to be better. That's how we treat the Messiah, right? They're going to make life better. Things are going to be better under their rule, their reign. And people were doing that to Obama. People in some ways do it now even to Donald Trump. Now, here's the problem with yoking yourself up to political parties or ideologies. When you yoke yourself up to a party or an ideology, you also have to carry the burden or the instructions of that ideology or that teaching. So in our politics today, the rules or the burden of the party or the ideology is this. You have to hate the other side, right? That's part of the teaching when you yoke up to a political party. You have to hate the other side. And anytime something goes wrong in America, you have to blame the other side. You have to denigrate them. You have to call them names. You're also told what to be outraged about. And guess what, saints? You do not get peace from doing that. You do not get rest for your soul for doing that. You find yourself bitter and angry. And guess what? That is a heavy yoke and burden to bear and carry. That's what happens when many people in our society are yoked up to these things, these parties, these ideologies. It keeps you bitter. It keeps you angry. You're carrying now this heavy yoke of anger because something in your political party is, or the world is not how you would, your political party or ideology would want it. Think about the guy, for example, that tried to assassinate Donald Trump. Look where his yoke and his political politics and his ideology led him. Literally tried to kill a person. His soul was not at rest, as Jesus said, if you yoke up to me, you'll find rest for your soul. Why? Because the political parties and ideology cannot lead your soul to rest. And so it led him to doing this. Or think about the guy that tried to assassinate, or not he tried to, he did kill Charlie Kirk. Look where his yoke led him. Look where his politics and ideology led him. He did not have any rest for his soul. He had murder in his eyes. But here's the good news is that we as Christians, we get to step in with good news and offer people the easy yoke. We get to offer people lighter burdens. We get to offer people another way. We get to offer them the way of Jesus. We get to tell them where hope can truly be found, that hope is not in your politics. It's not in your ideology. We get to tell them, aren't you getting tired of being let down by these politicians over and over again? Aren't you tired of all the fake promises? Guess what? I know a person. I know a person. I know another way. I know another party. That is Jesus. It is a church of God. Like, we get to offer people that good news about someone else who will actually make the yoke easy and the burden will be light. That's part of the euangelion that we get to offer to people. We get to offer the easy yoke and the light burden of Jesus Christ. And the world wants this. They're looking for this. They're looking everywhere for the easy yoke. They're looking for the thing that's going to bring them rest for your souls. And guess what, saints? You have it, and you know the person, so you can tell them about Jesus Christ, the one who actually gives soul rest. That's our euangelion that we can tell people. That's why we can say that Jesus' yoke is easier and his burden is lighter. Amen.